It's a nice day
for a white bucktail.
You ever thrown a white bucktail?
I have.
Deadly.
The mups musky flashaboo. Not
is that how you say it?
Not to be
Antigo's finest.
Antigo sea pig. Not to be confused with meps. Mups.
Right. Well, I say Antigo's finest, but you also have Suic. They're from the glorious city of Antigo too.
All right.
So, you know,
what are you gonna do? You know, you got freaking meps, you got mups, you got
Oldham's powerhouse
stomach
equals.
What are you gonna do, man?
Yeah, exactly.
It is what it is.
How's fishing been this week?
It has been devastating.
In what way?
No, I've been smoking them. It's that seasonal juxtaposition that happens all the time, where you're going, okay, well, it's cooling off up north, but down south, it's essentially, we're getting to the end of October, which is like, I would say a month behind you, right? 5-6 weeks, maybe, at worst.
Okay.
Yeah. So we're getting to that prime time, which is nice. Good friend of mine listened to the podcast. Sean sent me a picture. He got a really nice fish on a jointed believer or swim whiz, couldn't tell. And I smoked a few in the last week with like, you know, shallow invaders. The jointed headlock's been doing devastating for me. And then dive in rise, Jay. Isn't it always that when the leaves change orange and the leaves change red?
You know what they say? Well, leaves are gone here, but yeah, I know what you're saying.
What they say, get out of Titan. It's an old Indian proverb.
When the leaves are orange, work the shallower areas.
We're working on this. We'll get it. It'll all come together where it'll like be two sentences. Dive and rise has been good. Little bit of top water. Kind of disappointing on the top. Well, the water's like high 50s. That's not that disjointed from what you had going on a month ago, right?
Yeah, you've told me in the past that November, I believe, is a really good month for top water.
Can be, just depends. I mean, I've worn shorts in December, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you break out the freaking Titan and you do the dive and risey thing. I've put the blades away, you know, hard baits. So that's kind of been the thing. Not anywhere close to live bait, but that seems to be the status quo where you're at. What's hooking up? What's happening?
Minnesota too. Yeah, I talked to a buddy the other day that fishes in Minnesota a lot. Well, he lives there, so that's where he fishes. And it's been doing good. Got a couple really nice fish this week on suckers, but not a lot of action.
Mm-hmm.
Some up and down weather. You know, it was mid upper 60s here today. Really windy too.
Funky.
Just blowing. 70s tomorrow, Steve.
Really?
Yeah. Another one.
Then
it's going to come back down to like high in the 40s later in the week. So.
Nay.
Yep, roller coaster for temps.
Yeah, it's goofy. What are you going to do with it? You know, It is what it is. I always think about seasonality as this. Don't look at the calendar. Look at the conditions, right? Don't go, oh, well, it's in October. If the water temps say it's warm, well, it's warm, you know, act accordingly. So the comings at the Musky Shop, Jay, we have dwindled down to the very end of anything new here. Obviously, the Magnus is coming out after the first of the year. Did we talk last week about the Smith Lure Spoon? I think we did.
I don't know if we did, but I tell you what, I think they're completely gone. There's maybe one left. Joe, so we're trying to get some more in for all those guys that are waiting. I know there's several people waiting on out-of-stock colors. They went really fast.
Jody came into the living room the other day. It's like, have you seen the spoon?
Yeah, real big spoon. It's a flutter's
big,
great.
Big old spoon. And here's Jay. Jay's, I think you're a solid 5'3", right? You're a small guy.
No.
Real little fella. And you're holding that up. Just a wee. You could put him in your pocket, folks, and take him home. So here's tiny little Jay holding up that spoon, and it's a big old spoon.
Yeah, it's a big old spoon, Steve.
It is a big old spoon. You could eat your taco sauce out of that thing. You could use it. Listen, Jay, if you're feeling south of the border, you could catch a muskie on it and use it as a mojito.
Oh, I don't know what that is.
Well,
that's great.
Yeah, well, you could, but you know, I've been south of Madison. But no, that's a big old spoon. Pretty interesting. Jay wears a size 5 men's shoe. Size 5.
No.
Yeah, you do. It's just special order men's shoes.
Did you see the new beanies that came in today?
No, I didn't.
3 more new beanies came in today.
Do you know why?
Got them on the homepage.
Okay, can I tell you something, a random fact I know? Do you want to, why knitted caps have the palm on the top?
The palm? Uh-huh. Yes.
See, don't hit.
No, I don't.
You don't hit your head on the doors of a ship.
Oh, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Or slip on a banana and then hit your head on the floor?
Well, life is not Looney Tunes, sir.
Okay, okay.
It's not. This is not a cartoon.
Gotcha.
Get it together, sir, please.
Okay.
I learned that from Netflix, I believe. We're at the bitter end of things that are happening. So the comings and goings have narrowed. We're going to talk about more hype baits. Got an interesting package in the mail today, Jay.
From?
Don Janes at Figure 8.
It's one of those new ones, I bet. He told me a little bit, but I don't know
much.
There's
a couple sneakies.
Mm-hmm.
So you go, hey, I fish on the lake and the muskies ain't big, right? Or spring size downsizing or springtime downsizing post spawn or just bad conditions.
Mm-hmm.
Got the prototype for the mini meat grinder, boys. So I'm pretty excited.
Mini meat? No, I did not know about that one. Okay.
I'm excited about that. We have a buzz bait.
Yes.
I've spent about a year on that where you go, it's not something I use all the time, but when I need it, it's ridiculous. And people often think like buzz bait. It's the most redneck sounding thing ever. Buzz bait. Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, it's got that twang. Sure.
Right. Buzz, buzz, buzz. But they work as kind of this stopgap when fish are following topwaters, but they're not eating them. And it's not something I use all the time, but you go, oh, they just followed, you know, Dr. Evil's twice. Well, guess what we're going to throw after that? Yeah, you got it. Or we've got really thick vegetation, yada, yada, yada. So it's just another tool. Don and I are working on it. We've about got it where we need to be as far as something I think would be the most perfected buzz bait for musky fishing. And it's a big old buzz bait.
Big old buzz bait.
Oh, God.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. You know, okay. Put on your UT t-shirt and, you know, let your gut hang out, you redneck crap head. But nonetheless, the mini meat grinder is long overdue. A lot of guys love the meat grinder. So Don's working on the mini meat grinder, which is going to be cool.
What is that thing? How mini does it go? What's the weight on that thing?
Microscopic.
Is it a half ounce buzz bait? Spinnerbait?
I haven't done the weight on it. It's the small frame of the figure eight. Let's look.
Okay.
Here.
It's like a mini boss frame.
It's a mini boss frame, but a meat grinder build. Which
cool.
Let's just do that real quick. Let's
That'll be huge. That'll be really good.
Well, I mean, it's
first I've heard of it.
Well, you know, I don't have to tell you everything.
That's why I tune into this show, man.
Just to catch up. So it's the
it is.
Catch up. What's going on with? Actually, we haven't talked this much because this week because I've been just freaking slammed. So the mini boss is an ounce and a half, right? Which is a it's not a bass bait, but it's big. It's a big bass bait, right?
Yeah, right.
With a small blade. So the mini meat grinder. I can't even talk. Mini man. So you have the mini meat grinder, which is designed just like the meat grinder, which is on the 1.5 ounce frame with a big old blade on it, downturn grub. So you got the trailer, you got the whole shooting manch there, which is going to be devastating as a kind of a weedless getting in the thickest things. Because, I mean, you know, Jay, I like big fish and I cannot lie.
Right.
Yeah, these other anglers can't deny. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm kind of swinging for the fence, but if you're on this thing where like, hey, let's downsize, let's really take it down there, or you're fishing on small fish water, it'll give you the capability there. So Don will, I would think by the time that the ice breaks next year, we'll have it perfected. We got it dang near close. We're working on a bucktail, but who cares? Yeah, well, Jay, in the world of muskie fishing, another exciting bucktail. Boo, right? We'll talk about that at some point. I'm not, like, over the moon about it.
Okay.
We'll probably make 7 of them for me. But the mini meat grinder, mini, it's so tiny, Jay. It's tiny.
Well, I'm looking forward to that one.
No, you're
not.
To
be honest with you, that sounds good.
I detected a lie.
Yeah, it'll be a good one.
You're apathetic at best. I'm teasing. I love it. No, so that's going on. Man, the comings and the goings. Yeah, you got beanies and a mini meat grinder, guys. Okay, yeah, I get it. Okay, calm yourselves. Calm yourselves down.
Take a chill pill.
A chill pill. I know you're freaking out right now. You're in your car. You're just basically, you're wrecking right now.
Well, we're kind of right in between there, Steve. You know, it's just like muskie fishing season is wrapping up essentially. And
it's a little bit
early for all the new releases, you know. So all you can do is tease them.
Well, it'd be great if it was cold. You know? Here's some hot sucker tactics because it's actually cold, but.
There's plenty of time for that. It'll happen.
Yeah. Well, the problem is all the boomers had to have their McDonald's meals in styrofoam in the 80s and weren't paying the price. You know? Decent.
What?
I said it to Herbeck. Everybody's wearing white rain and they're eating out of styrofoam and they've just murdered the environment.
Yeah, I gotcha.
You know, I'm teasing. I'm not freaking... driving an electric car or something here. Don't get me wrong. I'm just being, I have nothing else to say. Anyway, speaking of Herbeck, I called him up, gave him a bag of shit. Here it comes, Jay.
Yes.
What up, Herbie? I heard you're smacking him up there. What's going on up in Canada right now, my friend?
Well, the bite has been really good, but we had a switch in weather here the last couple of days, and the fish are, you know, kind of lethargic. I mean, it was like today, for instance, we probably had half a dozen fish 50 inches or better chasing baits and following live baits and stuff, and mm-hmm. they won't eat. Switch to the east here. But prior to that, it was pretty darn good. I know Danny got a big 40-pounder mm-hmm. A couple of days ago, and I was getting, you know, 50-inch fish and better to I only had a couple of days that I had fish under 47 inches for about 2 weeks.
Oh, wham, wham, wham.
And so we're kind of tearing the hair out of our head today and yesterday. We had a lot of high winds, 50 kilometers or better, and mm-hmm. so that's made it difficult fishing just where we wanted to fish. But, you know, I've seen this kind of stuff before. It'll turn right around. Unfortunately, right. I'm leaving after tomorrow and heading for northern Wisconsin. So, those of the guys that are going to be up here for a while yet. They're coming up later. I suspect it's going to be gangbusters here.
Yeah,
it's still just broke 50 degrees. Can you believe that?
That's what Danny said the other week. Yeah, which was like, well, this right now should be, I mean, you were tearing it up. It was prime time, but like there's an extended kind of thing that's about to happen, wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Normally we're close to the channels and stuff, you know, possibly between basins freezing up and packs of bays and stuff. And I mean,
nowhere close. What I know you're on the boat right now, and guys, he's actually talking on his cell phone out here in the middle of Eagle right now. I know you have kind of mastered rigging suckers. You've been integral in a lot of different designs. What's with live baits being so prevalent right now, what are some of your like hard rules, or what are you looking for in a sucker rig?
Well, I'll tell you, you know, people are using big 6, 5, 6, 7-aught hooks, heavy wire, dangling all kinds of hardware on them. Mm-hmm. When we've actually had a fairly tough bite, but because of going to very small darkened hooks, like 2-aught is the biggest I'm using, 1-aughts even. But them, you know, round bed Gamagatsus and owners, you know, they bury right through anything, and they hold the biggest fish there is. You don't need all the big hooks. Going to lighter wire, 60-pound wire, and just watching it after 3-4 fish, and you know, long lining instead of right under the boat. Most of my bigger fish have either been on a long line or a planer board away from the boat, which tells me, I don't know, is it the scope or is it the boat that they're leery of? I'm not sure, but they're leery of something. And in northern Wisconsin, especially, you know, where everybody has been running live baits for 50 years,
right?
I think it's probably even more of a factor to consider stealth and distance from the boat and things like that, you know. So those are things that I think a lot of people are missing.
You just said something, it's funny. Usually when we talk, there's the little tidbits I catch on, and it kind of sparks my memory. I've told people in a nice way, not like you would say it. I know how you would say it to people, but I've told people be quiet when a sucker's there. You would probably hit them with a hammer and scream at them. But, you know, I see a fish coming on a sucker, right? You're like, rah, rah, rah. I'm like, shh, everybody stop.
Listen to this. I got great live baits.
Right.
I got them rigged. When they're in the water alongside the boat, you can't even see my rigs. And I'll bet you what, Bill, we've had 10, 12 fish today that, you know, from past experiences on the graphs that were probably 50-inch plus fish. Following baits for as long as 100 yards and not biting them.
And not biting.
So, you know, and I don't know. I don't know what else I can do. And that them, you know, we got, and the bites have been, you know, it's the way it is when the windows are short. They're biting on moons, you know, almost exclusively,
really?
You know, so, you know, it's just something that's going on. Things are off, you know. But I said a lot of big fish have been caught by being, you know, a little bit more cautious about how you do things, paying very close attention to where you've seen or have big fish follow it during the day, and getting there, you know, half hour before moon and being on them during the first half hour of the moons and stuff like that. Those are the keys right now.
You got a game plan, strategize, and pay attention.
Right.
What kind of things, you know, let's say somebody, because this is coming for northern Wisconsin, Minnesota, and some other places where you know, what the winter has to show up here, right? It can't be 50 degrees all year long. But
no, I hope not.
Well, it'd be weird. It'd be weird. So, but we probably, if it is, we have bigger problems than musky fishing at that point. But, you know, when you get in this cold water period, or should be cold water period, you know, what kind of baits are you using to at least get those follows to locate fish? I think a lot of people struggle with locating fish.
Most of the bites that we've been getting on the live baits have been 18 to 30 feet. Jack Clifton, who's a good big old fishing partner of mine, mm-hmm. caught the largest fish in North America and the largest fish in Wisconsin with me over the years. He got a 40-pounder with me last week, and that was over 53 feet of water, 18 feet down. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, though, we're fishing off structure, 18 to 26 feet. A lot of fish are out laying out in the mud. And now in the last couple of days, even though the bites become tougher, we're seeing a lot more fish coming from baits off of structure. But prior to that, and even now, we're using a lot of rubber baits. You know, that new Savage crosstail sucker has been amazing. I think it's just the fish are getting sick of looking at tubes, and it's just a little bit different.
Right.
You know, bulldogs, you know, things like that. You know, stuff that we can count down and work down and break, you know, stuff like that. So, but, you know, at the same time, if you got somebody that can cast up on top, throwing something, you know, like a pounder or a grandma or a squeaky Pete or something like that, you know, for those, because they can be anywhere, right? Like I said, you know, they can be 50 feet deep, they can be 50 feet, 18 feet down, they can be 2 feet of water anywhere in between.
Yeah.
So, you know, you got to kind of cover the bases, but most of the fish we've been coming are on the deeper end of the spectrum, not the shallow end.
Gotcha.
That we're actually catching.
Right, right. You have fish staging everywhere, but the ones that will eat are it's funny. I literally ran into that yesterday. We're like, okay, yeah, there's suspendos. We just trolled over them all day long. You're seeing them on pan. You're seeing them on everything, and you go, well, the eaters are shallow right now. It just is what it is, you know. And you kind of look at somebody and go, well, muskies have to be somewhere. You know, they just don't disappear into thin air when they're not eating. You know, they got to hang out somewhere. So, but
I just don't know what's going on here. I've never. I mean, you always get some fish that lazily follow live bait or lazily follow artificials and stuff, or combinations of. But I've just never seen it to this extent. And when they do that, I don't think it's conditioning or anything like that. They just ain't hungry.
Yeah, just not hungry. You know,
when they bite only on moons and stuff, that's the peak of a, you know, that will maybe get them to, you know, become a little more aggressive. Normally we catch them all, you know, through the day with weather changes and wind shifts and stuff like that too, besides the moons. And that's not even happening. So for some reason, this weather, maybe the temperature is warmer than than what the daylight hours tell the fish it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe something all this, you know, put together is causing these fish to perhaps only feed at moons, and or maybe they're feeding at night. I don't know.
Could it be global warming from all the Aquanet everybody used in the 1980s? all the hair metal bands and. You know, you're eating your quarter pounders out of styrofoam.
Bottom line of it is, it's musky fishing. We try and figure out. We catch some big ones here and there, and we actually had some pretty good stretches in the last three weeks.
Nice.
Just the last couple of days with a shift in weather and high winds has made it tougher. But, you know, I think I'm still going to get a few that take pictures with, you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Let me ask you this before I let you get back to fishing. The proverbial question when it comes to sucker fishing, hook sets.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Well, personally, if I got inexperienced fishermen, I like to quickly set up to where the fish is directly straight down. I very seldom have ever missed a fish in that scenario.
Right.
Other than that, if a fish is going, you know, slightly away at an angle, and and somebody, you know, can do a real good hook set, kind of the rod 45 parallel to the water, opposite direction the fish is going, that's a good scenario. If a fish takes off screaming, and does not just a zzz, and then slowly starts swimming. But I'm saying takes off, and doesn't stop, that fish is running for its life. It hit the bait so hard it knows it's hooked.
Yeah.
You take, I don't care how far that fish is away, you smoke that fish as hard as you can, two, three times, reel at it and crank it again, because by the time you get to that fish to set the hook, it probably will have shook the hooks. It'll be shaking the whole time
trying
to get rid of the bait.
That's at least for me, that's a rare one, but it does happen. Where they hit the sucker so hard, they go, it's like if they hit a, I always thought like if they hit, say like a bluegill, right? Bluegill's got a pretty dominant dorsal fin on it, or like some kind of cat, you know, in a natural predation, they're going to get stuck, which is bad. And how they get them out of their mouth, they shake their head.
Yeah.
You know,
since they were an inch long, they learned how to do that.
They're going, mouth open, shaking their head, going, you know, no bueno, no good. So that's interesting because, like I said, sometimes you'll be fishing and go, okay, we just lost 100 feet of line before we could even realize what was going on. And they're just screaming with the thing. Yeah. So, and you think with those, just blast them repeatedly?
You got to. You can't catch up to them fast enough before those. Most of the time before they shake it. But if they just go zit, zzz, they usually only go 10, 15 feet, and then they start just slowly swimming for deeper water.
Yeah.
Those I like to catch up to them as fast as I can. And if, like I said, if it's inexperienced people especially, or if I think it's a really big fish, I like to be right over the top of them. Mm-hmm. Right over the top of them, man. I hardly ever missed a fish.
No, straight up and down, you just smoke them.
Yep.
So, and, you know, it's one of those things where there's so many dynamics there. What sucker rig are you using right now, or how are you?
I just make my own. It's a modification of the Herbie rig. You know, I make all my own. I use 60-pound wire. I take a 1-aught, 2-aught owner or Gamagatsu's and use a torch and heat up one of the hooks to straighten it so it goes in and under. Pin under the skin and out the skin, so the barb holds the hook there. It comes out really easy.
Mm-hmm.
I use either rubber band. I like, you know, for ease of people when the weather's real cold. It's pretty tough to beat that Shumway clip too for most people.
Good, yeah.
But when fish are really really tough, you can't beat a black or brown. You know, rubber band with the old Herbie style through the nasal passages. That it really is as clean a rig as you can possibly get.
Now for our older listeners, what size circle hook do you recommend for an old fashioned kill rig, Herbie? if you intended to club him when you get him in.
They'd get thrown out of the boat into the water.
Just get your old kill rig going there, boys. It's sucker season.
No.
Good eater size. I'm teasing you. Anyway, I'll let you get back to fishing. Guys.
Yeah, we got to get going. We got sunset coming up, and, you know, we've got a couple girls that we got to go try and dance with.
Absolutely. Well, Herbeck has perfected live bait fishing. He's been smoking them, guys. Thank you so much. Jay.
Yes, Steve.
I was picking on Herbeck. He didn't like that comment about how much Aquanet he used in the 80s, did he?
Well, it's true. I mean, think about it.
Did you know he was
in more damage than any one person on the planet?
Did you know he was in a Flock of Seagulls cover band?
He was.
In 85 down to Madison, yeah.
Yeah, that's in between guiding, too. He was working his tail off. You know, he'd guide during the day, and then he'd play, Iran.
I trolled so far
away. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't get away. A ski. It was disgusting. They called him Steve Herbeck and the Flock of Musky Gulls.
Did they?
That's what I heard. I wasn't lying.
Okay.
You
multi-talented might, guy.
He really was. You know, he played the sousaphone in the band.
Okay.
You know, so anyway.
Good stuff. Yeah, it was good to hear from Herbie, though.
Yeah, hearing from him that the weather's so weird. Dude, we're teasing. It's weather's weather. I don't care, right?
Yeah. It's always
going
to happen.
I'm sitting here going, we have our own weatherman, Jay.
I wish we had our own weatherman.
We do, the musky weatherman. I called him.
Yes!
Here it comes.
I'm sorry. The number you have dialed is not in service at this time.
All right, I got to know. The weather's so wacky. Herbeck just said it's screwy. I had to call up the musky weatherman. How are you this evening? Are you on the broadcast?
Stephen Paul, how are you doing tonight?
I am wonderful. Anyway,
screwy's a good word for screwy. It. Yeah, I mean, you could use four letters and make it a little more vulgar, I think.
Any day of the week, baby. I was just picking on Herbeck. I asked if it was all the Aquanet he used in his hair in the 80s.
Good theory. Dippity doo.
Dippity doo. He's, you know, he was at a Motorhead concert puffing his hair up back in the day. What's happening? Herbeck just said it's in the 50s, mid 50s, as far as water temp in Canada.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got a degree in meteorology. You knew some things about the weather. What is happening
crazy
right now?
It's crazy. It's delayed fall, really. I mean, you know, we've had a little, at least in my neck of the woods, we've had a few freezes and frosts overnight that have done some things to the water.
Watch your tomatoes.
Yeah, exactly. The neighbors out there with the sheets covering the mums to try and get an extra week.
Right. Mm.
But yeah, no, I've noticed it too. I was actually out another weekend ago, and water temp was surprisingly cool. It was almost like this, like, did we turn over? What did we do? Because it was like mid-50s, but I thought it should be warmer actually from the weather we'd had. But all it takes is a few nights, you know, you get some hardcore freezes. We were down in the mid-20s, but we really just had a stagnant weather pattern, you know, across the Midwest and really extending up into the southern Canada. That's kind of put the transition into flux this year.
It's funny you say. I didn't even think about stagnating, but I was on the old Twitter. Some people call it X now, right?
Yeah.
And they said from where I was at, there wasn't a cloud within 200 miles.
Yeah. Literally, it's been
weird. Like, you've got a West Coast, East Coast thing. You know, is it a matter of the hurricanes? What would you think caused this, and what would bring things back into focus?
You've essentially had a big ridge of high pressure that's been dominant from really the Intermountain West all the way into the upper Midwest, up into Canada, southern Canada, kind of on a southwest and northeast orientation. Mm-hmm. And again, that's kind of lended itself to some of the hurricane development and steering the hurricanes up into Florida, because they're on the front side of that ridge, or the east side of that ridge. So it's all been the same. Whenever you have tropical cyclones, they mess up the prevailing weather pattern, and you need like a kicker. You need some things to start moving the weather. And we're actually starting to see that now. I think in the next couple of weeks, we'll start to see bigger storms. Not only did we, you know, we haven't had the traditional colder fall weather in my neck of the woods in Minnesota and upper Midwest, but we haven't had a drop of rain. We went 30 days without a drop of rain.
Same.
Just insane. Not what you'd expect this time of year. Hardly a cloud to be found in the sky. You know, which obviously that's never good for fishing as well. Right. But we're starting to see some things change up. One positive, Stephen, delayed ice. I know Doc Boy Randy, that probably hurts his feelings because he's a big ice fan. But
right. Costing me money here.
Exactly. But hopefully, you know, we'll have a delayed freeze up. They'll leave the docks in, and that'll make maybe that early to mid-November fishing a little bit like mid-October.
Oh, yeah. I literally talked to a podcast listener yesterday. He was like, hey, I'm thinking about going to Wisconsin, you know, after Thanksgiving. I'm sitting here going,
yeah,
you probably could.
Yeah, you might be able to. I mean, it won't take long once we, you know, get some of those freeze-ups. But I'm not planning to put the boat away for a couple of weeks. I'm looking at the extended, and I think I've got at least two or three more outings to go, which, you know, this time of year, that's really unheard of. So
yeah, I mean, you're getting, even here in the South, I mean, today, I obviously we have, like, you know, 45, 50 in the morning, whatever, which is chilly for me.
Yeah. Ooh, a sweatshirt.
Right?
Wow.
Yeah,
a
sweatshirt.
Wow.
Right? You know,
you gotta pull your socks up a little higher.
They can't get much higher, son. I'll rip holes in the end if I get them socks much higher.
It's almost flannel thong territory for you.
Almost pants season with a flannel thong. But, you know, I'm sitting here going, you know, there's a few years where it's like, okay, the week of Halloween coming into this, it's cold. It's not cold for you, but it's knocking down. Is that a matter of, is for I don't know anything worth a crap, but Is it a pressure thing that's keeping like the wind out of the north, or that the movements out of the north buffered? Is there like a force that's pushing out of the south to the north, or what does that kind of look like?
Well, it's all, you know, this time of year, it can't stay warm forever, right? I mean, the days are shorter. Mm-hmm. It's entering dark phase in the northern latitudes, Alaska, mm-hmm. northern Canada. That cold air is building. You can see it. They just had a record snowstorm in Fairbanks, a foot of snow.
Why do you know this?
I keep track of that stuff.
I know you do.
But that cold air, you know, all it takes is northern latitude snow cover, the darkness, the lack of daylight. That cold air is going to build up. It's going to build south. It's inevitable. But for now, I'd say just enjoy it. I mean, I hate to admit it, but we're going to turn the air conditioner on tomorrow. It's supposed to be 80 degrees up in my neck of the woods, and that's unheard of.
Yeah, same here. It's like 79 to 80, and you're just going, holy cannoli. But, you know, and Doc Boy Randy can't get his natural harvest this early, which is horrible for his business model. And
exactly. And how's Cliff going to get out of town with the ice road? It's not even going to form yet.
There's not even an ice road for Cliff and his now boyfriend, Doc Boy Randy, to get out of town on. And
exactly.
It's difficult.
Yeah, we'll say our prayers.
Is what's happening now, right? And I'm teasing. I'm not a climate change guy. I made a couple jokes earlier or whatever, but you know, it's just hot button. I like to poke the bear on occasion.
Sure. But
is it cyclical? Is it systemic of what happened in the South, how it's affecting the North? What would your educated take be on why? And I know that's a massive question.
Yeah, that's that gets into all kinds of things. There's no doubt. There's no doubt that the weather has trended warmer lately in fall. Right. I used to think of October as a cold month. It really doesn't feel that way anymore. Although I'll tell you, last year we had snow on Halloween where I live, which doesn't happen very often. So.
I didn't know it snowed at the dump.
Well, I tell you what, you know, there's a reference to a floating trash heap, you know, at a political rally this weekend. I'm on the other floating trash heap.
It's a little further north.
Christmas at the dump.
Sorry. Yeah. So people can draw their own conclusions. I think the jury's still out on it. You know, people have stolen that narrative for political and other reasons, so I won't even go there. But the trend of late is warmer. But it still gets pretty damn cold where I live every year. So I'm all for it, I guess.
That's where I'm at. Because, you know, whatever. Causation is not my problem. And I won't be alive for it, so I'm not going to worry about it, right?
Yep.
But, you know, like you said, I mean, as a kid, I grew up, it's like, okay, October was... I remember waiting for the bus, and I'm not talking about ZZ Top waiting for the bus. I'm sitting there chattering my teeth going, kill me now, you know.
Or crisscross, you missed the bus.
Crisscross. Dang. Anyway.
Wow.
But, you know, it was far colder then. What I'm going for is like, you know, is it southern motion? You know, whatever. Not a loaded question. Don't care necessarily. I'm sure there's somebody sitting in Milwaukee right now.
Making them mad.
But you got to look at it as a whole. Your prediction, you're like the Jimmy the Greek of weather right now, right?
Yeah.
You're doing your best.
Yep.
You're in Minnesota.
Yep.
How long do you got before the ice comes?
There'll be ice. All we need is one decent snow event, and then, you know, you get snow on the ground, you get the long nights, it'll happen. I think we're probably in line for ice around Thanksgiving.
Okay. Get it done now is what you're saying. But that's a
huge... Yeah, get it done now and enjoy it.
That's actually a big opportunity, though. Like you said, that's two... What is that, 3-4 weekends?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you at least got 3 weeks. You know, I've been looking at some of the longer range stuff, and the pattern looks a little more active, but there are hints at some warm period around Veterans Day as well. So You know, the question is, I mean, and this is for you, this is where you make your money, but what does it do for the bike? What do you throw?
In my opinion, where you're at, Minnesota, right?
Yeah, Minnesota.
I'm going to put crash test dummies, my cousin Eddie, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to get my nephew that's 3 years old, a monkey with a hat on. I'm going to get every human being, quote unquote, in the boat.
Yep.
Troll. I'm going to troll.
Okay.
12-inch headlock, as many baits as in the water as I can get. I'm going to get on the outside brake and kind of comb that from like 5 to 15.
Yeah.
You know, get out there and freaking...
Those dying weed lines and just hit it.
And
just, how fast are you driving the boat, Steven? I've been with you trolling, so I know what it's like. You're like left. I mean, imagine the drunk driver, folks. That is the trolling pattern. The throttle, is as real, and the steering wheel is your motion.
Do you remember how many baits did we lose that day? And everybody's looking at me like, he doesn't even care.
I don't know, but I still have a bruise from the rod snapping on that one. So.
When I troll, I drive, it's like, you know.
That was an abusive day. I think you yelled at me later that day, too.
I hope I did. Which you're used to.
I was.
You're used to.
I secretly enjoyed it.
But I'm a soft touch, but something's happened. The erraticness of that is obviously... creating lifts, falls, dips, and darts, right?
Exactly.
I think the kiss of death in trolling is like, we're going to troll this brake line in this straight line, which is like completely non-organic. If I'm where you're at, I had heard you preach it before.
Yeah, I'd heard you preach it before, but to witness it was different. Like,
oh, dude.
I
called the Coast Guard, and I was like, is it legal to have a cheater knob on your steering wheel? They're like, what? And I was like, okay, there's no law against that.
Yeah.
I have, what truck drivers would use to slide Doc Boy Randy over closer to him on their steering wheel when they make a left, right?
I think that thing is what the boomers would call a necker knob.
Necker.
Because you used to be able to neck with your girlfriend while you were driving your car.
Yeah. Well, you do what you got to do. But yeah, I got the necker knob on there. And
yep.
It's erratic. When we had hit stuff and like we've trolled together, I'm going, all right, we're going to hit what?
Boom. Yep.
And I back it down a little bit and pray it floats out. And if it didn't, you break it off and you go, well, next, tie another one on, you know,
it's highly aggressive trolling.
Yeah.
And I was there for it. So
well, that's something I don't talk about a lot on the podcast. Of like, if I was like, I'm a highly aggressive, that's like some boomer. Like I'm wearing a t-shirt that's like, don't mess with me. I'm a grandpa on the back, right? Like, I like garlic bread and Donald Trump, you know?
An arrow that says, I'm with stupid.
Right, exactly. You just got this kind of like this motif of I'm a bad at. Like, I troll with reckless abandon. I might hit a rock with the motor, right? I'm trying to make. And the one thing I think that it's resonating with you, we went in front of this island, and there's this giant rock shelf.
Yep.
I think I broke off two baits three. In a row. Three? Okay.
It was three. Yeah.
Okay. And I turn around, tie on three more, and go, let's do it again. Right?
Yep.
I'm a glutton for financial punishment. But you go, this is what it takes where, dude, and also, too, I mean, we're talking high bright sun.
Mm-hmm.
The 3-point bait check. There was no 3-point. There was one bait check. Everything's on the bottom. Forget about everybody.
Yeah. And we're not talking like your standard deep water troll.
This is like
changing terrain, hidden rocks.
You
are finding the hidden fish.
Praying that they hit, but
yeah.
You know, just willing to, you know, at a certain point, you go, well, I'm willing to take the knocks.
Yep.
It is what it is. You know, it's you go from weatherman to frickin', karate gi instructor like you, right? You know,
I'm gonna
take some knocks doing this, right? You're a black belt instructor. Well, we'll take some hits.
Yeah, it's a high risk, high reward.
Right, exactly. Well, I'm saying that, you know, kind of in the same way you're thinking, where you go, well, I get to whip some ass, but I get my ass whipped a little bit, you know.
So basically what you're trying to say is 3.3 miles per hour? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, that it'll be 2.4. So I have a rule of thumb. So if the temp is 5, I'm below 5.
Okay.
Right? You never go above 5, which is in general, right? So I want to be 3 to 5.
Okay.
Now that means my turning radius as well, though, which is 3.5 on a hard turn can get up to 5. On the hard side, which is how do you figure out what 5 is on the hard side? So what he's saying by the hard side is, so let's say we're going in a straight line. You know, you're driving down the road listening to the podcast right now, or you're passed on the floor at a Texas Roadhouse, whatever it is.
And I'm there on Saturday.
You've had 13 at Chili's and they're kicking you out. Whatever is right ahead of you.
Choose your own adventure.
Choose your own adventure. As we turn hard port, hard starboard, that rod will dig in. You've got to realize what that 5 looks like. So you've got to take, let's say we're trolling Craves or Grandma's or Headlocks or whatever, right?
Yep.
What does 5 look like on the rod? Not 5 on the speedometer.
Sure.
It's an action thing.
Okay. Yeah. So more bounce.
Let's say we take a 10-inch headlock, 35 feet of line. Mm-hmm. It looks different as far as rod angle and dig towards the surface and the amount of bend at 5 miles an hour. So you got to test it in a straight line. Go, that's 5 miles an hour. Right.
Yep.
So if I'm going straight and dead straight, one bearing, one heading, that's what 5 looks like. I want to make 5s on my turns. So I want a contact cover and structure at about 3. But I want the rod to look like 5.
5 when you're on the turn. Okay, I get it. You've opened my eyes.
You see what I'm saying? Where it's like,
yeah.
Which is, we make initial contact, which is, I got your attention. Hello. You're following me, but on the turn subsequently after making contact where I think a muskie will be, I want nothing more than a 5.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's deep, man.
Well, I need a hobby. Buddy, when you're this far down the rabbit hole, you're going,
have you considered music?
Yeah, you know what? I'm picking up crocheting this week. I found a support group that I'm going to get with, and they're going to talk to me about my problem. So anyway, well, the musky awesome weatherman, he chimes in yet again.
Happy to be a part of it, Stephen. Anytime.
One to 5 stars, the new Chat Pile album.
That's a 4.9 for me.
That's a 4.9.
It's right there.
I got rattling speakers in the car, buddy.
That's good to hear. I mean, you got to dial down the enthusiasm. Sometimes I want to run through a wall, but you know,
on a scale of 1 to 5, how disappointing is Doc Boy Randy as a person?
Well, I mean, in Crocs or not wearing Crocs.
All right, guys. Thank you, Musky Weatherman. We'll hear from him again soon.
Sounds good.
Jay, how informative was that? I feel like I went to school.
Meteorology 101 plus several other numbers.
Yeah, Doc Boy Randy talk. I carved your name in the desk at school, Jay.
Did you?
Okay. I did. I said Steve Hartz, Jay. Is that weird? Aww. Does that make you feel anything? Are you dead?
Does it make you feel anything?
Are you dead inside?
Dead inside. It sounds like a new cover band.
JSE's dead inside. Nothing but the hits from the band The Cult. They play She Sells Sanctuary once every set.
What's that seat one? What's that one seat, Joe? The edge of the seat is free. What do you say?
Well, oh, you pay for the whole seat, but you only me the edge.
Yeah, baby.
Anyway, goodness gracious. No, it's interesting. I mean, the Muskie meteorologist is highly educated in meteorology and in muskie fishing. That's why we call him that. What are you going to do?
Yep.
He and I also like the band Chat Pile, which is about lead tailings and weird songs. But nonetheless, we fished with Doc Boy Randy. Unfortunately, it was kind of uncomfortable for both of us, as you can well tell. You know, it's like Doc Boy Randy's one of these people that make kind of suck between your teeth when his name comes out. Jay, it's like you're like,
what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, yeah. Steve.
Close, but nonetheless. So, Jay, we've been talking about the comings and goings in the Muskie Shop, right? Comings and goings. And
sure.
What's new? What's cool? It's, you know, we've talked about them so many times on the show, whether it be, you know, their bucktails, whether it be the whiplash, you know, it's like, that's a Donkey Kong of a spinnerbait. You know, it came out.
It sure is.
You sent me one. I get my hands on it. I go, okay. I see where we're going here. You see the...
It's a tool.
It's a tool. You're a tool, Jay. But nonetheless, you get your hands on these things.
Still dead inside over here, Steve. Even more so.
Even more so.
I feel about this big.
Tool of the month, JSE. But
it changed that thing.
But... you get your hand. That was so good. Sorry, you killed me. But you know, you get your hands on some of these baits, and you see where what people are thinking. So, we had the honor, the privilege, to talk to Dan Motes.
It's kind of a once in a lifetime. Yeah, it's a once in a lifetime event, and it's just like who better to talk to than Dan Motes, owner, chief designer of Spanky Baits.
Let her roll. Jay, we got him, right?
We did?
We got Dan Motes from Spanky Baits. He finally picked him up a cell phone, guys. He didn't have one before tonight, and here he is finally with us. Dan, congratulations, you have a cell phone. We gave him a shout. A bait I've been really excited to see come back. We've talked about it so much. And it's kind of a thing that's legend and lore. People, behind closed doors and the quiet corners of Rangers, they talk about Grandma M9s as if it's like, you know, you got to find a crack dealer to get these things. Obviously, Dan, you understand how relevant that bait is. You've brought back the M9 Pro, the M7 Pro. What made you do that? And what have you done to kind of make that bait, you know, available now? Kind of walk me through your entire thought process on the importance of this bait for your trolling game, casting game, and what you guys went through to make that bait relevant again.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, years ago when we owned Grandma Lures, right, we learned an awful lot. We learned a lot of things on great baits and big fish. But then at the same time, we kind of learned... we learned some lessons on things that go wrong and changes that need to be made, and, you know, being continuously improving things. And there was a nice gap here between the time that we owned Grandma Lures and now, and we never put down the project of taking and making this bait better.
Yeah.
Of course, like the old days, right? The old M9, the old MagnaStrike M9 was the one that everybody loved. And, you know, me included. And we use these baits, especially in the fall, like the M7 and the M9. They're phenomenal twitching baits. Absolutely. We just got Yeah, we just got back from northern Wisconsin on a trip. I had two younger guys with me, you know, reeling machines. And the one wouldn't put down the new M9. Mm-hmm. Just absolute big fish machine. It raised the most fish. It caught the most fish. It's a fantastic lure. And so what we decided to do, you know, one of the goals was to take and improve that whole piece over time. Now it's no longer a grandma lures piece. It's a Spanky Baits piece.
Right.
And we've taken that bait instead of, you know, injecting this like a hollow cavity injection. It's now solid. It's a solid resin. And it's a material that we call flex resin. And what that means is that, Steve, it means that it's aerated. So it's got, we're able to control the specific gravity of the resin as it gets poured.
Yeah.
Which gives us absolute precision when it comes to the dive buoyancy, and the rise. Yeah, exactly. The buoyancy and the bait.
We were talking, to cut you off, literally last week, Jay, correct me if I'm wrong, last week or the week before, we were talking about applications in shallow situations in the fall. We're talking about this bait and how it is, whether it be a Titan Suic or whatever, but the lip of that bait and the buoyancy is so devastating the dead and dying weeds. Because if you control the buoyancy, you've kind of nailed that, which is the rip, twitch, pause net. You know, it changes up this time of year. Wouldn't you agree, Dan?
Yeah, 100% this does. We are casting this thing anywhere from over 20 feet of water to in 2 feet of water.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. And now here's one of the things too, right? Like one of the problems that we always had in the old days was that when you mold a plastic hollow lure, eventually they start to leak. And then you got all sorts of buoyancy problems. This is solid. So there's no more leaking.
Yeah.
It's got a through wire. It's got a heavy duty, like that 7.2. That we're known that 7.2 wire, through wire, right? So now if a bait, let's just say you run into Hogzilla and she comes up and she breaks the bait.
It ain't gonna be the bait.
Yeah. Yeah, she gets in, she breaks the bait, but she's still got hooks in her because the through wire holds on, right? So everybody's big concern about that is over.
Yeah.
The new polycarbonate lip, right? It's a stronger material on the lip. It's a thicker lip. And it's also a design that... in the old days, we used to say, if the grandma lip breaks, like it was a design where you could not replace that lip. Mm-hmm. And of course, now in this new design, if that should happen, the design is there that we can replace the lip.
I've been blown away by these because I've been a M9 fan for I'm sitting here in what we call the bait cave on the podcast, right? You know, it is full of three generations of musky baits and plenty of M9s and all this stuff for you. That bait is tolerant to a beating, you know, 4 miles an hour, it takes it, you know, ticking and clicking, it takes it, where I didn't realize, and I'm kind of blown away that is a solid bait. It doesn't react in that nature, you know, because as a bait designer myself, I never even thought about that the intrinsic buoyancy of the air introduced in the resin. That's brilliant. And especially like you said, that through wire thing, it reacts just like a hollow core bait.
You know? It's the action on it is fantastic. The rise on both the M9 and don't forget the M7.
Right.
The M7 has caught and moved huge fish. It's got a little bit of a slower rise to it.
Mm-hmm.
But both of these find their way through and up out of weeds. It's just a huge triggering mechanism. Mm-hmm. And so we've had, like I said, Jay, you got like 20 to all 20 or all 21 colors there.
Something like
and,
that.
You know, and
for those who can't picture that bait too, it's a flat sided crankbait with kind of a high profile. So the flash,
minnow style. Yep.
Yeah. Minnow style, but enormous amount of flash. It's just irresistible looking in the water when you get that thing cooking and twitching.
Mm-hmm.
And then one thing you don't see, there's another piece here that you don't even see, is that the M13 is right behind its brother, the M9. So
go ahead and take my wallet, Dan.
The M13's already been prototyped.
Oh.
It's already done. It's in production. This stuff here, though, this resin, The Flex resin takes a little longer to pour, so we're waiting on those. Right. But Jay, you're going to have those in maybe before the end of the year, but we'll see here.
Well, we'll take them. That, you got a bunch of soul just talking to me, or you know, get in line behind me for anything that's white or walleye colored, boys. I promise you that.
Well, yeah, I mean, check them out. I think I've got shorts out on both on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram and stuff like that. You can find them if you Google them right or search for them right.
Absolutely.
Underwater demos, you can see these things, you know, what they do. So really cool color patterns. There's some real standard type stuff. You know, you got your perch, your black perch, your fire tiger, and then you've got some very creative new ones too. So that are catching people's eye.
Yeah, and we're going to continue. We'll continue to expand those. We'll continue to expand those really those kind of those cutting edge colors as we go. We wanted to make sure that we started out with good solid base colors that everybody's familiar with. And then, yeah, like the napalm perch, right? That's been.
Right. Yeah, that's one of them. Yep.
It's super cool. That's right. Yeah, super cool color. Let me ask you this, just sheer curiosity, and I'm not trying to put you on the spot in any regard, right? I've seen it with, you know, other flat-sided crankbaits or baits that have a small air capacity, especially being a southerner, if you can't tell from my accent. But, I might spend the summers up in the Northwoods in Canada, you know, spring and all this stuff, it gets warm, and you'll see these small flat body crankbaits that they seem to expand. Is that new resin, is that more heat tolerant? I'm just sheerly curious.
Oh, yeah. So, like, when you used to leave the old baits, like, on the dashboard, or you'd leave, like, a clear box, like, in your front seat of your truck, right? And everything comes in and it's worked.
They got a tumor the size of a golf ball on them. Yeah.
That is the drawback for, ABS plastic.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's part of that. It's part of that. It's kind of got a low melting point, if you will. Mm-hmm. And it's subject to distortion, where I don't think that the resin... the
heat tolerance is going to be way higher.
Yeah, the flax resin doesn't seem to have that sort of a problem. Now, it's a good question. I haven't really put it through the test, right? Like, I mean, we haven't laid this thing out. Like, I don't know. We had them laying on the deck in one of our trips this year, and I didn't have any problems with them. But laying on the deck and throwing it in your truck to bake for a couple of days are a different story. But I don't think there's going to be any problems with it. I know this stuff is high temperature already.
That's what the reason I asked, because not, like I said, not to put you on the spot, but like, you know, I've seen it with, whether it be my bait, Living Lures Titan, or, you know, Depth Raider, Shallow Raiders, if Joe here at the app with us or whatever, you know, there's kind of that caveat of, buddy, you leave that thing laying in the August sun. Sorry. However, it always seemed like the thinner the body, obviously air expands, right? So we have expansion. Yep. We have the expansion of the molecules inside in the actual plastics itself. But if there's really not, if the air in the density, when you're saying a resin is so tight, where's it going to go? And resin is such a higher temperature process.
Yeah, that's right. And here's the other thing too, is part of the problem with that old school style mentality of the two piece body.
Yeah.
It's kind of like sonically welded together or it's glued together. Absolutely. And with that process, it's not a quality process. You don't have a full, you can't guarantee a solid seam all the way around. So as soon as that air starts to expand, it's just looking for the path of least resistance.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it finds it and it goes. That's right.
I'm blown away. I didn't realize that, but that's phenomenal. And especially for, you know, my brain's spinning now, but you take the M7 or the M9 or trust me, when the M13 comes out, I'm going to torture it, which is making contacts with rocks on Eagle Lake, making contact with rocks on Wabagoon. You're not worried.
Steve, how much would you say that your mind is spinning?
You got me.
He's getting excited. I can tell.
Oh, dude, there's Jay.
He's starting to drool.
Yeah, I'm starting. The problem is this, right?
That's a southern thing.
You know, do you know why we drool? It's the gaps in our teeth.
Come on now.
It lets it out.
Summer teeth.
Yeah. Summer teeth. Summer there, summer gone. My friend,
a lot of people, for somebody that's never walked into the muskie shop
and walked down, I don't know, what do you want to call it, aisle two,
aisle
and
two.
seen Spanky Bates up there.
Yeah.
Because I don't know off the top of my head, what do we carry, 13, 14 different bucktail models?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
30 colors like, deep of each or something?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you have a massive lineup, not to change gears here, but I was just thinking, I mean, that's your bread and butter. Anyone that's ever heard of Spanky Bates knows that you could describe them better for me, but they're heavy duty, heavy blade, innovative. I would say double blades are probably your forte as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's where it all started for us, right? I mean, that was
the true beginning, was double bladed flashable.
Yeah, okay. I mean, our Spanky's true beginning was topwater baits.
It was.
Really?
Yeah, it was topwater baits in 2005, and then it turned into a tying vise, a vise on the dining room table, mm-hmm. which we trashed like 18 years ago. And but we said that, you know, at the end of the day, I'm a trade guy, and there's a lot of trades guys in this industry. Mm-hmm. And everybody wants a quality product for the right price. And I always said, you know, like half the baits we could make better. We can make them better, them stronger. Man. So that's what we did, right? We plugged in the 0.72 wire with extra temper on it. So it's got a lot more backbone. It's a lot sturdier. And of course, every part that we ever put on that wire shaft was all custom. It's all custom made. And in the beginning, we were drilling stuff out.
Yeah, you can't go buy those beads, yeah.
Yeah, it was weights, beads. I mean, every single thing. But then, every place we go, you know, it was, I'm a research guy too, right? And that was I did R&D for 18 years in the food industry, and part of the process is continuous improvement. Always make it better, make it stronger, and that's what we did. So we tie on a lockdown collar. Where the mm-hmm. thread locks down into that collar. The glue, the epoxy glue, hardens up real hard in there, so you don't have the thread coming out. It's not coiled. It's not tied on a spring, right? Where it's like on the surface, it can be cut. Of course, yes, that wire is the claim to fame. But then all of our blades are the 040 blades.
What?
And heavy blade.
Dan, let me ask you this.
This is the norm. 040 is heavy.
And
that wire, 072.
That's heavy.
The industry norm is really 051. So you can, Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, and that's the thing, right? Guys spend money on musky baits, and let's face it, you know, things are getting cheaper. Plus, excise tax is always on our back.
Oh yeah.
You know, like you got to find a way to make this thing better, stronger, and reasonable. And people want a strong bait that lasts. I mean, I get guys that bring in baits and they caught like 16 fish on it, and there's nothing left. And like, can you rebuild this? I'm like, really, dude? Why don't you just hang that up?
Hang her up.
You know, but the wire's still good.
The wire's still
good. You know, and the blades are still there. And that's the thing that we always thought too, right? The harmonics of the bait, it's all about the blades. Well, and if you take a thin blade and you bend that up, you change the harmonics of that bait forever.
Dan, let me ask you something. I got to pick your brain, right? Because and Jay can attest, I've been a Spanky fan for a long time. We've talked about him a ton on the podcast. We don't have a lot of guests, and that's just because we get on here and ramble, right? A couple questions.
Yep.
You said something about harmonics. I'm already asking, but there's two things I want to know. So density means vibration, right? So the denser the shaft, right, the more harmonic resonance you would have. You already beat me to that. Secondly, where the wire weighs more, the blades are thicker, the bait intrinsically weighs more than your typical bucktail. Do you intend that in the design process where you're going to get lower, tighter to cover and structure where more muskies are holding, or was that a byproduct of a beefed up design?
Good question.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, it's a little bit heavier of a bucktail. We do make multiple versions. You know, like, but we never really get into that. We've always just settled on the best version that's possible where the bait runs. Like, people want to add a lot of weight to baits. They'll say, yeah, I really want this heavy. But then the rear end of the bait runs low. So it's like, mm-hmm. why dirty?
Yeah, that doesn't look very good. Yeah, up like a weird angle. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's not good either. And then if you start getting this thing kind of whacked out of balance and you don't put the weight and the spacers in the right place,
mm-hmm.
you have some imbalance issues when you go to cast it. Castability is important.
Yeah, absolutely.
But at the same time, you can't get it too lightweight because the flashaboo, it doesn't absorb water like feathers and hair.
Mm-hmm.
So when you pull those out of the water, they're already heavy with water and they've got a little bit of weight for the, you know, to load your rod. But with the tinsel, it's not there. So you got to make sure you got the right amount of weight for castability, that it rides even. In the water, so there's balance in there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And it seemed like I said the intrinsic nature of these baits are, you know, as a full time guide and things of this nature, it's like, you know, throw it out, turn the handle, monkey. You know, but it seems that you get an extra foot, you get that extra distance that breaks the level of light penetration that converts more fish, at least in my mind, just from the basic build of the bait, you know, because like the 8 Spanky or the 8-9 is kind of bread and butter for me most of the time where you go, you can't mess that up. You just can't, you know, it's anybody could catch a fish on that thing, you know. Where I think
the other piece that we really pride ourselves into is that the blades. So like the blade design, right? Like we're at the point now where we design our own blades.
Yeah.
The cup, the pitch, the cavitation, all of these pieces. Yeah. Yeah. All of these pieces make a difference when it comes to the blades starting on the retrieve. And a lot of people will buy baits and then it's like they got to snap them or they got to jerk them to get those blades going. You don't have that. And plus underneath the clevises, you've got a nylon wear washer, which also ensures smooth. Oh, hold on. Shut up! which ensures smooth rotation of the clevises and startup every time. So a lot of great factors that go into this bait. And then, of course, the cost on this too, right? Like you think a bait that's going to be that beefy and that heavy is going to cost you oh so much more for quality, but the reality is we keep it tight. We do a good job sourcing, and we do a good job working with our vendors like Jay to keep this thing, you know, realistic.
Yeah, it's spot on. You'll hear no complaints from me on that front. And then, something you guys did, and I was interested in, you have a series of rods now at the Muskie Shop, and obviously you guys have them in other places, but what was kind of the design process there? Because there's something I noticed, which was like a non-insert eye, right?
Oh, yeah. So that's a...
Yeah.
We did rods. Oh, boy. I think we did rods from 2013, 2015. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons we got out of the rods, just because I couldn't get the quality, I just couldn't get the quality components that we wanted to put on these rods. And we're talking about the Spanky Baits name. It just wasn't representative of the quality standard that we want, you know, that we're known for.
Yeah.
So we stopped making the rods. And then about 2.5 years ago, I saw that they started to make this solid stainless eyelet with no insert. And to me, that was the world. And at the same time, the other piece was that the telescoping rods were coming out back in the day. And there was problems when that was kind of starting. There was just different issues with that whole mechanism. So we shied away from it. So now, fast forward, we've got very good telescopic maneuvering, and the mechanism itself is very, very solid. And then we put these eyelets on without the inserts. I can't tell you how many trips have been ruined because, you know, especially in the fall where a guy with a size 12 boot steps on an eyelet.
Yes, sir.
Or what's even worse, I mean, it's one thing to see an eyelet that's broken. You say, all right, man, that eyelet's broken, right? That's bad. But it's almost worse when somebody steps at it, or like one of the little eyelets cracks and you don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it ends up happening, then you end up losing a leader, and then or a fish, and then it's even worse.
Yeah.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah. I saw that. Actually, I think they showed up right before the Muskie Shop Bash, right? And we're in the garage there when we're getting set up for the bash, and I saw this. I went, brilliant. It alleviates the problem, because in muskie fishing right now, it's like, okay, we can cast 60, 80, 120, a bomb cast with a musky lures. You know, this is not surf casting, everybody, right?
That's right.
And at a certain point, that rod is going to translate enough feeling to you. You know, it's working. This is not finesse. And I'm going, why are we doing this? Why are we copying bass fish? We need ceramic inserts because no, we don't. We don't need that. Oh. That I find that to be brilliant because you go, it alleviates a problem first and foremost, and alleviates potential lossage. You know, because it a lossage. I'm making up words here, but at a potential loss because it, at a certain point you go, anything that I can, you know, minimize or mitigate anything that could cost me a fish or cause mortality of a fish is a net win in my mind. I thought that was pretty brilliant. Yeah. You know, the other thing that we talked about as far as a trolling application, and obviously I'm a fanboy here, was the whiplash, right? Because you've got this this big spinnerbait, and when we don't talk about trolling bucktails as much as I talk about trolling spinnerbaits. What was kind of the thought process there is that in your brain, you know, obviously this is your baby. Is this a casting application where you were thinking trolling more, or what was kind of the thought process there?
Well, you know, everything for me. So I'm a caster, and you know, I always say that, you know, we've got a huge following. We've had a great following on Lake St. Clair for so long. Mm-hmm. And those guys are brutal on musky lures. Absolutely. Right. They put them to the test. In fact, that's where the wear part was developed. Mm-hmm. That little nylon washer was developed on St. Clair. Cause these guys are running these baits 16 hours a day, nonstop. Yeah. And it's wearing through. So we always got to make sure that we're making things that are castable and they're also trollable. You know, mm-hmm. We don't want to get into a situation where we have to create two lines. You have to buy two lades, two different baits if you want to cast and troll.
Right.
We put all the quality features into one. Do with it what you like.
Right.
And when we developed this bait, the first one was a whiplash with the six skirts and the big blade. The big willow. I think you have options on that. You've got the willow, the mag willow. You got the mag 10. Mm-hmm. You got the mag indie.
It comes with extra blades or interchangeable.
Yeah, and so that was developed for casting. That's how we first started it, and then we tuned it for trolling. Yeah. And so that's just a big fish bait. Now people will say, "Well, it's kind of heavy." You know, it comes in under. I think it's under half a pound, but. Yeah. Well, listen, guys are throwing pounder of whatever out there.
Yeah.
This is nothing more to throw.
No.
It's a giant profile. Yeah. I mean, what, you know, there's a lack of giant profile spinners out there, you know, to be honest with you. The biggest spinner baits are just heavier of the same frame size. This is truly giant.
Well, yeah. And then, of course, off of that, though, so then we developed the Whiplash Junior, which is lighter. It's three skirts because let's be honest, boys, we have multiple, I don't want to say demographics, but generations. Fisheries.
Well,
like fishing in this industry, right? You got, like I said, I was up north with a couple guys in their 20s. Man, these guys can throw anything. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, then I go up the older guys, closer to my age, right? Like second half of their life, right? Yeah. And listen, throwing big, heavy duty stuff is just not going to be, it's just not going to be comprehensible for these guys all day, right? So you may get by throwing that for a few hours, and when your hand gets tired, it downsizes. And that's why we made the three, you know, the Whiplash Junior. Because that's more reasonable bait to throw all day long. And I mean, we see this throughout all the bait lines, right? I mean, Jay, you know it too, right? I mean, somebody's throwing the M9, and now the M9s are not hard to throw and twitch. Those are easy, but you start talking about double 10 spinner baits, 10 nines, big angries. Those get a little tougher, but then you start getting down into, like you talked about, the 8-9, the 8s, the little angries. Guys really can throw those all day, and that's what it's part is. You got to be able to stay in the game.
I think a lot of it too, though, is you know, we got big fish down here in Tennessee, and I spent all the summers up in Wisconsin, Kansas. It's big fish, right? You go, you know, weird places in southern Indiana, or you know, certain places in Wisconsin or Iowa, shad based, where a big profile is not necessarily the ticket. So it always makes sense. I think a lot of it, like you said, the physicality, but sometimes it's important to not have a 15 inch offering everywhere you go, you know, which is, I think is super relevant, you know, which is nice. I would, if I ever throw a pounder again, I will here in a few months, I promise you that, but you just go, oh, my lower back, you know, you can get it done, except for that. The more pounders you throw it, I always thought each cast just takes about 5 minutes off your life, like a cigarette. right? You're like, oh, well, that, I'll want that 5 minutes back on my deathbed. So I'm so glad you're on the show. It's so enlightening to hear about the product lineup. Is there anything kind of brewing for 2025? You guys have been doing a lot of innovation. You know, me.
Yeah, and, of course. I want to touch on, Steve, listen, I don't want to cut you off, but no, I want to touch on a point you just made. We were talking about the pounders, and we get this question a lot, and I'm sure, Jay, you guys get this at the shop all the time. A lot of people ask me about our rods, and they talk about big rubber, and I tell them, listen, this rod is not designed to throw big rubber. This rod, these rods are designed, they're designed and built to throw bucktails.
Nice.
Blade runners.
Yeah.
Yeah, blade runners, right? The blade runner rods, whether it's big bucktails or small bucktails. And then, of course, like the reel handles, right? And people ask me about the reel handles. That Revolution reel handle with that 4-inch power grip is absolutely a lifesaver. And we sold through that first batch in like no time. And we've got absolutely phenomenal reports back on these rods that guys really like them. So that's a big thing. But I do want to be clear though, it's not a big rubber rod. Like it's a heavy fast action rod. And like, could you get away throwing a smaller tube on it? Of course, or a smaller Shedzilla. Of course you could.
Right.
And my boys should be smiling cause I'm pumping their tires. But at the same time don't get into the heavy stuff with it. Cause the rod's just not built for that. And you know, let the rod makers that sell that stuff and build those rods for those, you're going to have to go to those guys for that kind of a rod.
Yeah. It's everything's applicational based. That's one thing I did notice about your series of rods, which was like very, quite a bit of flex kind of past the third eyelet, right? Which would translate vibration better, which is, I mean, you know, and in no way, sense or form, I think what you're saying so eloquently is, you know, they have not said, hey, these are meant for everything. These are meant to throw bucktails and throw them very well, because I think a lot that's missed when you're throwing a bucktail, if you're a multi-rod guy, is that extra flex for distance and sensitivity, I think, is super important.
Yeah, and let's not forget the figure eight.
Yeah.
We it's very important that, you get a lot of fish up on the figure eight. And if you're good on the figure eight, and you can really put a lot more fish in the boat, but it's important that your rod matches what you can do. I see guys fishing out of a real low profile boat with 10-foot rods and their figure eights. Yeah. The figure eights are so big and they're not precise and they can't do it.
They can't do it. Yeah.
And it's like, why would you throw a rod? They're like, well, man, I can cast this almost a football field. Yeah. And I say, that's great, but we're like 30 feet off the edge of the structure that we're fishing. Right.
Are you trying to like get overkill? Follows? Yeah.
Yeah. Let me cut 3 feet off the back end of that thing. And let me show you how to figure eight. I mean, it's so
convince Steve that one. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, it's important. So I see too many guys with rod long, like the rods are too long for the figure eight. Mm-hmm. And of course, now I say that I fish out of a little Lund Alaskan and then I'm in the front of a Vexus and now I got to have multiple length rods just to match those boats. Cause it's a huge difference, but that's important piece too.
That's a huge, you're one of the few people we ever had on that pointed out, me and Jay said all the time, where whether it be like a Muskie Shop Shield Rod or a St. Croix or a Spanky Rod or whatever, we always tell people you've got to match the rod to your physical stature and the boat you're fishing out of. That's it. You know, where it's a combination of both, because if you're in remember the old school Lund Taiz, if you're in the nose, you're about 9 feet off the water some days. You know, you felt like you're just way hovering above, where you've got to have the appropriate rod length for the boat you're fishing out of and in physical stature. Because like you said, sometimes you get too long of a rod and you've lacked control if you're not of a tall physical stature. It's just so spot on. What else would you say is sort of coming in the works right now? What's doing in your head for 2025?
Well, Tom and I mentioned to you, Dan, the other day about that secret new. I know Tom talks to you more than I do, but we were trying to develop something together. So that's one.
I think. Yeah. So we've got. I know. We've got something in the works here with the shop that we're going to do for you guys, and it looks like it's pretty positive. We'll know a little bit more this week. Cool. But then I think the first part of next year, we're definitely going to be releasing. We have a new bait that's coming out. It's going to be a whole new line for us, and I can't say anything yet.
Cool.
Next year we're going to be prototyping another bait that is a complete off the wall. If I can get this to work, it's a completely different style bait. And that's at the end of the day, that's the one piece that we're really trying to push. And we've been working on this bait for over almost 2 years now. So wow. We're hoping that we can get into some final stages with that next year, but it takes a lot on this one. So nothing I can really give you guys right now.
Well, they're always trying to innovate. They have, in my opinion, the best inline bucktails in the game. Spanky Bass.
Thank you.
We've talked about them a ton. Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show. Me and Jay will have to have you on again here real soon, and much appreciated, sir.
Yeah, no problem, boys. Have a great night. Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Dan. You too.
All right. Tyler.
You pay for the whole seat, but the only deal. You pay for the whole seat, but you only need the edge. Edge, edge, edge. Muskie Cross 93.
Muskie, how about that Dan?
Muskie Digger versus Dan Moats.
Oh, man, that was great.
That was fantastic. He definitely knows the product line. Super informative. Obviously knows muskie fishing. Obviously makes a hell of a bait.
Yep.
No, well, there
is to it. In plural form, that is.
Plurality.
What did I say? It was like, what do you got, 13 or 14? Then I went back and I counted. I think there's 16 different spinners that we carry from Spanky Baits. Plus the rod line, the new crankbaits he's got all out. You know, he was talking in depth about the new M9 Pros and M7 Pros. Cool stuff.
Listen, he had me at M13.
Yeah, I know he did.
He knew he did. He was like, oh, I got this guy.
I got him.
Got him. Headshot. It's like, you know. Like, there's very, very few times where I'm like, you know.
He says they're almost done. That's cool. I can't wait to see him. Well,
gimme. Mm-hmm. You know, I love 13-inch grandmas. Those are, they're, you know, you'll see the big jakes, whatever. It's too fat for that size of a bait, in my opinion, and the tightness of that obviously is a huge vibration, but the hookup ratio, whatever, I say no more, you know what I'm saying? Moving on, it just checks all the boxes. So Jay, we've covered Herbeck, the lack, we've talked about why toboggans have little pom-poms on the top. We've done it all.
That's true. I forgot about that.
You know, it's hopefully the listeners have. They're going, this is not what I tune in for.
Well, covering Herbeck's easy. It's a small target.
Big Herbeck, little Herbeck, you know it. Anyway, yep. Jaybird, say a Vita Zane.
Thanks, everybody. Night.
Later. Bye.